So with that said, let's go over some quick fellowship announcements here we'd like to share with our church family of what has recently been taking place with our adventures this past weekend. For those of you who know, we announced it that our Saturday soul winning was canceled due to an invitation that I got from a brother named Pastor Brian Dunlop at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Laverne, California, for a men's conference. It was a blessing. Had a great time to meet some new people, new friends, and it was a great time. And my wife and Sister Eileen had the opportunity of building that friendship, that bond with each other as they went out thrifting at IKEA. So for those of you women, you guys can have a women's ministry at IKEA. Amen. I don't know, that's where a lot of spiritual things can take place. But yesterday, Sister Eileen, she was on fire, man. Hey, Brother Joe, Eileen was about to bail on Brother Carlos in the parking lot, man. He's like, let's leave this guy right here and go to the thrift shop. So it was a battle, brother. It was a battle, but we made it, amen. So with that said, we had a great time of fellowship. Last night, I went and ministered for the first time. I had an opportunity to preach at another church and to teach for Brother Edgar Marquez's leadership. So we got there in Fontana and we had a great time of meeting a lot of great new friends. It was a blessing for my wife to minister to other young adults, as well as Eileen getting to meet new people and being friends. And it was a great time of being able to edify his leadership. And you know, what's so cool in Brother Edgar Marquez's church leadership, you had young adults and you had old seasoned saints. And yet when they go out soul winning, the older sister that night, she said that night, I led somebody to Christ. Amen. And it was just a blessing for us to see and observe that no matter how old you are or no matter how young you are, if you remain obedient to the command of your Savior to go soul win with your church, God can use you. And so don't let age hold you back. Don't let your lack of knowledge hold you back. You have Jesus, and that's all. Amen. So just join your church, go soul win, continue to do your best to participate with your ministry opportunities. So it was great. So I had a great time for a quick 30-minute lesson to instruct them about discipleship, and they were edified. They were encouraged. So my wife and I, we do plan on going back there possibly in December. Maybe Sister Emily wants to go for a special event they're going to be having up there. Amen. I'll just leave it at that. Amen. But other than that, we had a great time. So here's some pictures we'll show you. And as you guys know, I just like to encourage you by showing you these photos. So this is the outside of the church. It looks really nice there. It's a really nice size facility. We had a chance to go inside their fellowship hall, if you will. And that's another room that they have. It's called a parsonage. So for those of you who don't know, it's just a house, if you will, on a church property, and people can sleep there, and they have housing missionaries and stuff like that. So it's a blessing. And then there's Brother Carlos ministering there in the little fellowship hall. And then this is Pastor Marquez right there. He's a cool guy, real good brother in Christ. And I asked him to come down and witness and preach to our church in December. So I'm looking forward to hearing back word. But it was a great time. So please continue to keep their church in prayer as they were having a leadership meeting with their current volunteer members of soul winning and their desire for next year of what they want to accomplish as a church family. It was a huge blessing to us to see that. And also for Eileen being stirred as well, because that night she was talking about doing some fundraising, like some cool idea. And ironically, the sister was having an idea. And I'm like, well, you should go talk to her. And they had a great time. They had a great time. So you see how you can be stirred when you meet other Christians that have something like-minded and they can encourage you to do it for the Lord. Amen. So that was it. I just wanted to show you those pictures. And so it was a huge blessing. So as we continue, if you will, with our calendar announcements, I'm still waiting back word from a pastor friend that I invited to preach for you while we are on our mission trip on the 27th of November. So if you can keep that pastor in prayer, whoever it might be, I'm waiting on word back from two. And so I hope that they'll instruct you. But once again, from the 21st and the 27th, my wife and I will be out of town on our mission trip. So that Wednesday, perhaps you guys can have a prayer fellowship, amen, if the men are available as well, amen. You can have a Bible study, whatever's on your heart. So when, if you guys can, together on the 26th, but then on that 27th, I'm going to have a pastor to visit, to instruct and to oversee, to be a blessing to y'all. And then that Sunday night, if God wills it, we'll be coming back Sunday night at around 6 or 7 our time. So if you guys want to invite us for some tacos, hey, praise the Lord, we'll be ready to fellowship with y'all on that Sunday night to share with you. But it's a mission trip. So we're going to go out there to Obregon to minister with the church that helped us find my biological family, as well as trying our best to witness to a brother and sister I have. But if they don't want to hear about Jesus, I'm going to keep on serving with the brothers. Amen. So that's our primary goal. You guys already know. So just keep them in prayer. That should be a blessing. So other than our other tabs on your church website here, ministry opportunities, I think we did go out last Thursday. So this upcoming Thursday is our day off from the soul winning on the Sunset Market. And then this Saturday, we do look forward to going back out soul winning. So we're just going to continue in the neighborhood where me, Brother Joe, and Sister Katie left off from 2 weeks ago. We'll be out there on the Saturday. Amen. So keep that soul winning outreach in prayer. And then we're going to continue and just trust God that we can just be faithful in that area. Prayer, that's the most important announcement that we can make here at church. So please submit a prayer request right there, or you have my phone number. Call me. For the ladies, call Sister Katie. I need prayer. A family that prays together stays together. Don't forget that. We are all about prayer. Right now, we're only currently live streaming through YouTube. And then last but not least, if you are a member of this church, I hope you are, please remain faithful in your giving. Whatever you purpose on your heart to give of your finances to God, just know He loves a cheerful giver, and He'll deal with you proportionally. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But just know it's all about the heart. Whatever your free, willing heart desires to say, God, here it is. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for preservation. Here, I just want to say thank you for the church need, if you will. And obviously, we're not big enough to get a place of our own. We're not big enough to support a full-time pastor. So I work with my hands. I also give to help our need. So just know, I will never ask you to do something if I'm not doing it. So just remain faithful in that command of the Lord to give as well. Amen. Whatever that might be, there's a box back there. You can do so online as well here in the back. And then last minute announcement, my wife and I decided spontaneously to go to La Puente, California tonight. If anybody desires to go on a little church trip with my wife and I, we're going to be leaving at around 4 o'clock. La Puente is just about an hour away. It's just kind of like if we went from here to Chula Vista or somewhere. We're going to go visit other church friends that introduced me to Brother Edgar Marquez, and his name is Ray Ramirez. He pastors Hillside Baptist Church, and we had a chance to meet him at the Spanish church in Temecula. So again, I'm just thankful for God replenishing me with new friends and the Lord that have a sincere care for us, our church, the work that the Lord put on my heart to start here 5 years ago. And these have all been great men. And so I'm looking forward to going up there to meet. They also asked me to help them with some sound ministry and things like that. So I'm looking forward to using my talents to be a blessing to minister to His people. Amen. So if you want to join my wife and I for spontaneous church fellowship, just know 4 o'clock, we're going to try to get out of here. It's just about an hour drive up north for their Sunday night. So if you can imagine coming back as well for that timing. Amen. Dinner will be provided by Eileen. No, I'm just kidding. So we'll see. But last night at Arby's, y'all, that was crazy. We were going through the drive-thru. Man, this is real quick. This has nothing to do with church at all. But we're in that drive-thru, and I was like, you know, I was giving her the orders. And the girl, and she said, and then you said the Reuben sandwich. I said, no, I said number one, the half pound, you know, whatever. And then another girl chimes in on their walkie-talkies. You said number 12, sir. And I'm like, dang, I didn't say number 12. I said number one. What's going on here? We're about to book it out of there. But then what did I just preach on? You know, forgiveness, forbearance. I got a Jesus sticker on the back of my car. Brother Joe, brother can't be just, you know, driving through the highway. You know what I'm saying? Sister Eileen's like, man, forget these kids. Let's get up on out of here, man. Let's go to the taco shop. But I'm like, you know what? They may be having a bad day. We don't know. I don't know. But, you know, we are, and I didn't drink that drink, though, you know what I'm saying? If they spat in my Arby's roast beef, brother, hey, the Lord, he took care of my body. It's all good, you know what I'm saying? But either way, we're here. So just know, don't go to Arby's at 10 o'clock at night in Fontana. That's all I'm trying to say. All right. Let's go ahead and go back now to our study together in the book of Galatians, chapter number 3. If you can do me a favor, turn your Bible now to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're going to continue in our verse-by-verse study. Today, however, is going to be, if you will, sort of a topical, but it's going to be in line with our text today. And the title of today's message is Don't Be a Fool. Don't Be a Fool. Kind of talked to you about it last Sunday about foolish Galatians, foolish Christians who give in to people who hinder them from following Christ. Essentially, that's what happens. And you allow yourself to be deceived. And the Bible calls it actually bewitching when you allow an outside influence to enter into your walk with the Lord to hinder you and your walk with Jesus. So we were taking admonition, if you will, from the text of Scripture, and we were letting the Holy Spirit of God minister to us through that text. And so we're going to continue today to study the Word of God together and allow the Word of God to continue to instruct us, teach us, and we just want to be at the feet of Jesus, the head of the church, so that way He can instruct us on how not to be fooled. how not to be fooled. Amen. That's going to be the hope, and that is going to be the prayer. Amen. So Galatians chapter 3, hope you have a Bible, and let's continue to follow along together here in verse number 1. All right, the Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? You see there. And then last one here, verse number 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for today. Pray, God, that you would minister to us. I pray that you would instruct us. And just like we learned for the Sunday school hour, I pray that you would disciple us so that, Jesus, you could manifest your love through us, your kindness through us, your meekness through us, your forgiveness and forbearing, all of you in this body, God, because we need more of you. We need less of us. We need more of the Holy Spirit of God operating through us so we can live by your faith and not by our faith, because our faith fails us, God. Our faith doubts you. Our faith denies you. Our faith doesn't want to talk to you, doesn't want to read your Bible. But your faith, if we operate in that, God, we can do what you commanded us to do. So God, meet with us for this next hour, God, and minister to us as your people. Remove me out of your way. And I pray that the preaching and the teaching today, God, would instruct them and also prepare them for the communion that we're going to have at the end of our service so we can approach you with a heart that is acceptable. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Remember, the Holy Ghost of God, he calls these Galatians foolish, but for what cause? Remember how we told you guys last Sunday, there's always a context. So y'all don't want to just start calling everybody a fool. Notice why they're called fools, because whoever they allowed to enter into their lives to bewitch them, to pull them, if you will, through some kind of influence within their life from following Jesus Christ, from being obedient to the truth set forth by the Apostle Paul and instructing them into the gospel and Christian living and Christian conduct. Notice the Bible says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. These Galatian believers, friends, have no excuse because they heard the gospel clearly. They understood it intellectually. They understood it emotionally. They have no doubt as it pertains to what they heard. So then how did they become foolish? Because they chose to. They allowed a fool to come into their life and to teach them how to be foolish by hindering them from obeying Jesus. Friend, what is today's message title? Don't be a fool. The way that you can avoid becoming fools is by avoiding fools and avoiding foolish doctrine and ultimately avoiding your heart that can become foolish by deceiving you to disobey your Savior. So today, that's going to be the direction of the theme of the remaining of this sermon is how not to be a fool. How not to be a fool. Let's go now turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. We're going to get back on the Bible train. It's been a minute since we've been on the Bible train. I have an aunt in Fresno, guys, who's watching. She loves the Bible train. Amen. So we're going to get back on that Bible train verse by verse, book with book, letting the scriptures interpret themselves. Numbers chapter 12. And don't forget, guys, that all scripture is profitable. And so today we're going to let the Word of God instruct us, the people of God, so we can be more like the Son of God. Amen. Numbers chapter 12. Let's go ahead and read together, starting now in verse number 1. Romans chapter number 12, starting together here in verse number 1. The Word of God says, And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. When he had married an Ethiopian, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So don't forget, at this time, the children of Israel, they're in the Exodus. They are, if you will, in their travels to the Promised Land. And Moses' wife had perished. She died. And he marries another woman. He marries an Ethiopian woman. Well, apparently, when he did that, his brother and sister, which is Aaron and Miriam, they didn't like that. So what did they do? They complained. They spoke against their brother. The Bible says, they said, Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, you know, is it only going to be through that guy that we're only going to hear the voice of God? Is it really just going to be narrowed by that one man through whom all of us are going to be heard? Can't we also be used by God to speak to everybody? So they became envious. Don't forget in the back of your mind, church, Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, variance, emulation. They were emulating their brother Moses. Look at, hath he not spoken also by us? Don't I have a little bit too of knowledge? Can I also be used for the instruction of the nation of Israel? And the Lord heard it. I want you to remember, the Lord hears everything. So when you complain about another brother or sister behind their back, when you talk about another brother or sister behind their back, the Lord hears it. That's a nugget. Let's keep reading. The man Moses was very meek, the Bible says. Don't forget Sunday school hour. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. So guys, I don't know about you, but I would probably be scared if God Almighty descended and just stood right there in front of the tabernacle in that glorious cloud. And he just said, all y'all three, come on out of here. I'd be like, oh man, the Lord is calling us. What happened? What's going on? So the Lord came down on the pillar, verse 5, and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came out. They both came forth. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. He just took off back to heaven. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, now here it is, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. I want you to understand that when you murmur or when you complain against God's people, people that are being used of God for sake of application to instruct you in the ways of God, the commands of God for application, you know what that Bible says? That's a foolish thing to do. And it could be a sin. And in this case, it was. And what happened was God dealt with Moses' sister by judging her real quick in the flesh. And you know what Moses did? He prayed for her later on. And that should be another lesson for Christian leadership like me as the pastor, that after time and time that I try my best to teach you the Bible, spend time with you, and yet you still do some and you make fun of me or you talk about me behind my back, I should still pray for you. Amen. So those are two good lessons that you and I as the leader and the member could learn. It's foolish to talk about each other behind each other's back. It's foolish to complain. It's foolish to devise secret things against your church leadership or if leadership is doing it against the members. That's foolish. As God uses each other to care for each other, to teach each other, to guide each other, it's foolish to allow that to hinder in. You don't have to turn there. Just look up to your screen real quick. Proverbs chapter 10. This goes very, very in hand with that event. Look at here, Proverbs 10, verse number 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So here's what happens. You kind of hang out with over here with sister and brother, and oh yeah, you kind of murmur and talk about Brother Carlos's hairdo and how he shaved his mustache and he looks silly. And you know what you're doing? You're being a fool. You're slandering behind the back. And you shouldn't do that. Same thing, Brother Carlos, leadership, I shouldn't just be like, oh yeah, this brother and that sister. No, I should be praying. I should turn my complaining into praying. Okay, second, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Again, we're back on the Bible train. You guys already know I like to make it easy for you from left to right. Deuteronomy now in chapter number 32. What we're going to learn here, friend, is that it's foolish to seek counsel from carnal Christians, those who have corrupted themselves by becoming perverse and crooked when they begin living contrary to the truth. Look at here in verse number 1. The Bible says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now here comes what Galatians warns us about. Here comes the spiritual perverts from chapter 1 who want to teach another gospel. Here comes the bewitcher that you allow into your life to hinder you from following the truth. Here they come. The Bible says in verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? So who is Moses, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, reproving nationally for the people of Israel? Those who heard the word of God, those who intellectually understood what God required of them, and they doubted, they rebelled, and by those two choices, they became perverse and crooked, and then all the rest of the Jews who are surrounding themselves by those rebellious Jews, and if they allow themselves to follow after their pattern, that's what God is reproving them for. So in Galatians, again, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all the way to chapter 5, don't forget that God is a God of truth and without iniquity. Don't listen to those Christians or believers who are drinking it up and are trying to give you spiritual advice. They're perverse. Don't listen to those Christians who are smoking that dope, watching that porn, or living contrary, or living in sin when they try to tell you about God, or if they're living astray from God, they're foolish. They're foolish. And if you follow them, you are going to become foolish. So don't do it. Don't do it. Next example, 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Is it possible for me to be a believer in God? And I learn the intellectual information. I gain an emotional response. You know, I have a little zeal and I have a little desire. And I know a little bit about the Bible and how to do this. But I disregard the advice from my pastor or other Christians who are stronger than me for a thing I should do within my life. And I do it because I thought that that was the right thing to do. Is it possible for us to do that? Yes. But when we do that, as we're going to see from King Saul's example, it's foolish because you did it out of the order of God. So now let's read here. We have King Saul, he's reigning. And we're going to see here, they're going to get into a battle with the Philistines. I'm just going to paraphrase these verses for the sake of time. And so what happened was these Philistines were becoming more powerful. And all of a sudden, the men of Israel, verse number 6, they saw that they were in a strait. You know, they were in a tight place, right? And they started to hide in the caves and in the thickets and in the rocks. You know what I'm saying? So they're in the mountain hills, if you will, and there's a cave. The man, they're running there. They're scared. They're hiding behind the bush. They're scared. Verse number 7, some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. So they're fearful. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. So Samuel, remember, he's the prophet. He's the man of God. He's the one that God is using right now to instruct the people, even though they already had the law. And so here we have it. Samuel told Saul, you wait for me. Wait for me. 7 days, wait for me. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. Are you qualified to do that, King Saul? No, you're not. You're not a Levite. You're not a priest. Who are you to try to operate and do a service for God and an office of God that God did not give you the ability or the permission to do? That was a foolish thing. Verse number 9, he offered. Verse 10, it came to pass that as soon as he had made the end of the offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Samuel went out to meet him that he might salute him. Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves. You know what I just really read in this? Excuses. You know, because I didn't really see God coming through, brother, so I did this on my own. You know, I didn't really get your advice, Pastor, and all of a sudden nothing's really happening, so I thought that I should. That's kind of what I hear. I hear it all the time from brothers, and some of you guys know when we talk, I understand you go through it, but I'm just telling you, if you wait on God, if you do it his way, he will come through. He's not a liar. Don't forget that God, it will not lie. It's impossible. Titus 1. But this man, he did so. He did foolishly. Look at here, verse 12. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. So now he's operating off of I, and that's the heart. What happens is this, when you start to think that you and your heart have a better way outside of the commands of God, and you make a decision based off that, that's a foolish thing. You have to stay in line with the commands of God, and you have to stay in line with the people that God placed over your life to help you. Don't begin to doubt. Don't begin to stray. Don't begin to become impatient because you don't see the breakthrough or the delivery or the change in someone else's life or the money coming through. If you just wait on God and if you just trust the man that God has placed within your life to give you the word of God, you will avoid being foolish like this king. Well, that was his problem. And that's a foolish lesson that we need to remind ourselves of. On a quick side nugget that goes right in line with this, let me give you some wisdom instructing you on what do you do when those thoughts come in. Are you ready? Look up to the screen here. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Look it all the way down in verse number 59 through 60. This is really good. The Lord was instructing me as I was preparing the message. Amen. The Bible says here, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So friend, what happens? The thought comes in your heart. You think about the circumstance. You think about the situation. You think about the family circumstance, situation, your money, whatever that might be. Fill in the blank. You ponder it. King Saul, I thought, because you didn't come, I thought, because the Philistines, I thought, so I forced myself to do. You know what the psalmist said here? I thought about what I should have done. I thought about what God should have done. But then you know what? I just turned right back to his word. Because that is what's going to be more faithful than what I think I should do in this circumstance. Remember, guys, God's word and God's ways are higher than ours. If we align ourselves with those things, if we align ourselves with the commands of God, God will honor that. He'll bless it. But as soon as you think that you should do this and you go against the word of God, don't be surprised when you become a fool. And all of a sudden, you reap what you sow. Now, you can have redemption and restoration, but I'm just telling you, the next time that thought comes, you better turn your feet back to that book. You better make haste, as the Bible says, and get back in that word of God and try your best to say, hey, pastor, hey, brother, who's stronger than me in the faith, what should I do? You remember we tried to tell you last time. Now do it this time. All right, and then watch how you get stronger. So that's what you should do with those thoughts. Quickly turn to the word. Quickly turn to the word. 2 Samuel 24, and that's when our next stop in our Bible train. Remember, we're just going left to right, so you were in 1 Samuel. Let's go now to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Just know, friend, that all of us are capable of becoming foolish, even men after God's own heart. Here we have King David, and he was a great man. We already know his sin, but nevertheless, aside from him committing adultery, the Holy Spirit of God, at the end of his life, he said he was a man after his heart. Why? Because every time a man of God was sent by God to call him out, he repented. Every time that the word of God instructed him on something he was doing that was wrong, he repented. That's how he was a man after his heart. He was checked by God. He said, you know what, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm going to get back in line. I'm going to get back in line. That's what it's about. When you are in life and you have a fault, you have a sin, you have a mistake, how quickly you are to turn back to the right way, that's a man after his heart. Amen. But look right here, verse number 10. The Bible says that David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Even after a man, after God's own heart, he still did foolish things because he is a man of like passions. Peter did a foolish thing in Galatians 2, as we already read, when Paul had to rebuke him. Paul did a foolish thing by resisting the Spirit of God from not going back to Jerusalem in the book of Acts. Friend, it's when we recognize where we've disobeyed, and then we confess that sin and that fault and go back to God, that he will give us the freedom from that foolish living or that foolish habit. That's what it is. It's right here in verse number 10. When you say, God, I sinned. I know it's a sin. I know what your Bible says. Forgive me and deliver me so that way I don't do it again. You with me? That's what we need to do. All right, let's continue. Book of Job, chapter number 30. Left to right, book of Job, chapter number 30. Hope you're following along in your Bible. And let's go now here to verse number 8. Job 30, verse number 8. Here's what a fool is, or here's what it means, if you will. We're going to let the Bible define for us, and then we'll get some dictionary. But the Bible says here, they were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. Here's what the word fool means. It means worthless. It means vile. That is low in value or estimation. Number four, it means of a mean spirit, disingenuous, people that are without dignity of sentiment. That's a fool. So when a person or an influence wants to come back into your Christian life and you're hearing all about Jesus and commandments and all these things at church, and that becomes a, if you will, a thorn in your side, and you entertain it and it hinders you, that's what you're going to be like. You're going to become a fool. You're going to become vile. And that's what Galatians is warning Christians about, from allowing those to bewitch you from obeying the truth. All right, let's go now to the book of Psalms, chapter number 5. We got a lot of scripture to cover today because we're hungry for the word of God. Amen. Psalm chapter number 5, and now let's read verse number 5. Psalm 5, verse number 5. We're just going to be going from left to right if you want to follow along with me. The Bible says here, "Now the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Just remember that fools and foolish people are associated with workers of iniquity. So, as I told you again, we're trying our best to reach out to Christians who are wayward. We're trying